Today's shiur is sponsored Le'ili Nishmas David Sasson Ben Harav Yosef. We're now in the second part of the Haftorah for Parsha Zachar, where we have the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. As we learned, Shmuel came with a nevuah to tell Shaul, Koy Omar Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem commanded, I remember what Amalek did. Now you should go and strike Amalek. Make everything a cherem, no compassion, and kill me'ishvad isha me'olovad yonek. They should all be killed, men, women, the children, babies, the mishor vad seh, the oxen, the sheep, migomol vad chamor, from the camels to the donkey. Everything is supposed to be wiped out from Amalek. It seems to be very clear what the message and what the mitzvah is. Shaul gathered together the people, and he put together his army. And yet, it says clearly, Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'om al Agog. Shaul and the people had this chemla, had compassion on Agog, and on the best of the sheep, and they didn't destroy them. Whatever wasn't useful, whatever chol hamalacha, nemivzav, nomes, whatever wretched animals there were that were had no purpose, that was what was killed. But anything of value they saved. Hashem came to Shmuel and he said, I nichamti, I regret. Kaviyochel is like there's a change of mind. This whole idea of a king was a failure. I shouldn't have made Shaul the king. He's turned away from me and he hasn't done what he was supposed to do. And Shmuel was upset, he was angry, and he cried out to Hashem the whole night. It's very clear, reading the psukim, what Shaul did wrong. And we're going to see in this tape right now how Shaul reacted. And did he realize that he made a mistake? And we'll learn this parsha. By the way, we mentioned last time that Shaul told the Keni, those were descendants from Yisro, that they should separate from Amalek, penos hivcha imo, otherwise they might get killed together with Amalek. And you did chesed with all of Bnei Yisroel when they came out of Mitzrayim. Since Yisroel did a chesed with Klal Yisroel, hundreds of years later, his children should be protected and shouldn't be killed together with Amalek. And it took a special zehirus, a special caution, to make sure that they should, chas v'shalom, not get caught up in the battlefield and make sure that they're saved. And this extra concern for them, in other words, in general, there'd be a war, they could leave. But the extra concern to send them an advance warning and make sure that they separate is because Yisro did this chesed with Bnei Yisrael. And as Rashi mentions, that they had a seuda, Yisro had a seuda with Moshe and Aaron and all the Ziknei Yisrael, and that was a chesed. In the very end of Maseches Brachos, the Gemara discusses how the Chachamim in Yavne were discussing Poischem Bechvoid Achsanya, about how great it is for those who hosted the Talmidei Chachamim and made the yeshiva in Yavne possible. And they mentioned if Yisro, who hosted the Ziknei Yisrael for his own kavod, and yet got such a great reward, somebody who shows chesed with Klal Yisrael, with Talmidei Chachamim, L'shem Shemayim, certainly his schar is much, much greater. But you see from the Gemara that Yisro did it for his own kavod. It was a tremendous honor to host Moshe and Aaron in the Zakenim. The whole world knew the Nisim that had happened from Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And the fact that Moshe and Aaron, who were the world famous saviors and leaders of Klal Yisrael, were agreed to come to Yisro's Seuda, was a tremendous honor. besides the fact we know the Gemara says in Kiddushin, by Kiddushin, the man has to give the woman something of value for the Kinyan Kesef. If the man is Choshev, and he doesn't accept presents from everyone, and he agrees to accept the present from a woman, the acceptance of the gift is a present to her, because he wouldn't accept it from everyone. And Adam Choshev is different. So the truth is, Moshe and Aaron, the very fact they agreed to come to Yisro's meal, that itself is a present. So the truth is, Yisro did it for his own kavod, and it's as if they gave Yisro the honor of their company. The very fact they accepted to come to his meal, they really gave him more than he gave them. And yet he got such a schar that hundreds of years later, they were especially noted to be saved from the battle. And certainly the zchus of those who host Talmidei Chachamim, the Shem Shamayim, is certainly great that to last for the Doyeris, for their generations, hundreds of years later, the zchus remains. Anyways, back to the war with Amalek. We're on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Actually, Pasuk Yud Beis. Hashem says, I regretted that I made Shaul the king. Vayashkim Shmuel Ikra Shaul Baboker. Shmuel got up to greet Shaul in the morning. Meaning he was up the whole night crying out to Hashem. And he still got up from his place in the morning. He cried out to Hashem, Kol Haloyla, it says, the whole night. And the whole night, and then the next morning he immediately left to greet Shaul. And it doesn't say that he was told to greet Shaul. Could be Shmuel on his own. He was so upset. And Hashem didn't tell him clearly, I guess, what part of the mission Shaul didn't do. We'll see later from the Pesukim. It seems to be that Shmuel wasn't aware that Agog was kept alive, the king. Just he heard the sound of the sheep, and he knew that Shaul had done something wrong. Kishov me'acharai v'estavarei lo hekim. But Shmuel went to Shaul and tried to figure out what. Let's hear what Shaul says. How could it be he didn't do the job? It was a clear message what he's supposed to do. So v'yashkim Shmuel igras boker Shaul v'boker. Shmuel got up early from his place to greet Shaul. V'yugad li Shmuel lemor. It was told to Shmuel saying, Bo Shaul ha-Karmela. Shaul came to Carmel. V'hine matziv lo yod. And he's establishing for himself a place in Carmel. There is a Carmel that's in Shevet Yehuda, in the south of Eretz Yisrael. It's mentioned in Sefer Yoshua. Later on, when David meets Avigail, it discusses her husband, Novel ha-Carmeli. So Carmel was a place in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and that would fit in very nicely with the Psukim. We learned in Pasuk Zayin, the battle took place Mechavilo Boach Hashur. And the last Pasuk in Parshas Chayisara mentions that's where Yishmael lived, and we know they lived down south in the desert area. It's Asher Al Pnei Mitzroyim. It's before the land of Mitzrayim, near Egypt. So it's in the south of the country was where the battle was. And if Carmel is in Shevet Yehuda, he went from wherever the battle was to nearby, somewhere else in Yehuda, to divide up the spoils. Another pshat is Levine Matziv Lo Yod, not that he was putting aside a place where they would be able to divide up the spoils, which is the pshat the Targum brings down. B'hamisakein Le Tamon Asar Lefalga Be Bizasa. He's establishing a place to divide the spoils. That's the Targum. Rashi mentions, Vine Matziv Lo Yod, he's establishing a place for making a Mizbeach. In Sefer Melochim, Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, when it says Elio HaNovi was making the Mizbeach to prove that the Nevi'ei HaBaal were the false, were false and it was all Sheker, when he brought the carbon, it says he fixed Vayirapias Mizbeach Hashem Hehorus, he fixed the broken Mizbeach. And it doesn't say over there how who made the Mizbeach, how did it get broken, well, what the story was. But it says there was a broken Mizbeach. Rashi over here mentions, since we know that was on Har HaKarmel, and here we know that Vinei Matziv Lo Yod Shaul was establishing a place which Rashi learns for a Mizbeach in Carmel. It's the same Mizbeach. Shaul made a Mizbeach in Carmel, on Har HaKarmel, to bring a korban after the defeat of Amalek. And then, hundreds of years later, Eliyahu was in that same place, and he repaired the Mizbeach, which had fallen into disuse. Actually, that was a time when Bamos were not allowed. They weren't allowed to use Mizbechos, and even though they were Bamos, but this Mizbeach was in disrepair, and Eliyahu Hanavi fixed it and brought the carbon. So, according to that explanation, it seems like Shaul traveled all the way up north from the battlefield with Amalek, went all the way up to the Har HaKarmel and made the Mizbeach. Vayiso Vayavar, and then from there he turned and he went and he passed to a different area, Vayered HaGilgal, and he went to Gilgal, which was sort of the headquarters. That's where Shmuel, in the original battle with the Plishtim, that's where Shmuel came, and that's where they brought the carbon. That's where Gilgal was always, from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, that was a center of the people for serving Hashem. So after he brought the carbon, he returned back to the headquarters, back to Gilgal. Vayovo Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel came to Shaul. Vayomer lo Shaul, and Shaul said to him, Baruch atol Hashem, you are blessed to Hashem, hakimosius devar Hashem, I've established the word of Hashem. Why is he blessed? Because Shmuel was the vehicle for transmitting Hashem's message. Shmuel is the one who told Shaul to battle with Amalek. So now that Shaul did his job and Amalek was wiped out, Shmuel gets the credit for helping bring about the kiyum of the mitzvah and the shlichus from Hashem. So Baruch Atah Hashem, you are blessed, because Hakimosius Devar Hashem, I fulfilled the Devar Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Me kol hatzon hazeh bo'oznoi. What's the sound of the sheep? Bekol ha'bokor asher anochi shomea. And the sound of the cattle that I hear. It sounds like an innocent question. It's what we find elsewhere in Tanakh. When somebody's guilty, very often, instead of being confronted directly, he's asked the question, and he's given the opportunity to say, you know, that he did something wrong. Like Hashem said to Adam Arishan, Ayeka, where are you? Hashem knew where he was, of course. Just Ayeka, where are you? This was the chance for Adam Arishan to say, Chatasi. Or Hashem will said to Bilam, Rashi brings down, Miha Anoshim Ohele Imoch, who are these people with you? Bilam should have answered, do you mind if I go with them? Or instead of answering in a haughty manner, that Balak Melech Moav, the king sent a message to me. So sometimes the question is, it's sort of a rhetorical, the answer is known already, but the question is asked to give an opportunity. Shmuel said, Umei kol atzon hazeh bo'oznoi. In other words, he knew that Shaul had done something wrong, and hearing the sheep, obviously that's it. What's the sound of the tzoin and the kol ha-bokar asher anochi shomea? The sound of the bokar. Now, the spoils were mostly divided up in Carmel, according to the Targum, which was in a different place. He had gone to Gilgal. Most of the animals weren't there, but obviously he had some animals, and there was noise. Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul said, Mi Amalek ki hevium. I brought them from Amalek. Asher hechom al ha'om al meitav hatzon. The people had compassion on the best of the sheep, ba'bokar, and the cattle. L'man zvoach l'Hashem Elokecha, to bring a carbon to Hashem, your God. Elokecha, because he didn't put himself on a level with Shmuel. And as Shmuel's relationship with Hashem was so much closer, this is the Elokim of Shmuel. It's like a anivus, like, in other words, it's not we're not together. It's Hashem Elokecha. V'esayoser echramnu, and the rest of it we destroy. In other words, Shaul still didn't say he's wrong. In other words, he seems to feel that he's correct. The Mefarshim, who are Medayik, all of the reasons why Shaul lost the Malchus and David kept the Malchus, take note also of this pasuk. If you notice, Shaul said, "Me Amaleki hevi They brought the animals from Amalek because they had compassion in order to bring a carbon. Ves hayoser hecharamnu. What remained, we destroyed. Meaning he put the blame for keeping the animals alive on the people. And the credit for wiping out Amalek is our credit. In other words, he's sharing the credit, and the blame he places strictly on them. Not me Amaleki Hevinu, but Heviyum, they brought the animals from Amalek. Hevinu. It's Heviyum, they brought the animals from Amalek. And of course, even in saying that, they brought it from Amalek and they had the best intentions in order to bring Karbonis, Laman Zevorach, Lashem Elokecha, but the very fact, I don't know if he sensed, could be sensed already at this point that the Shmuel was coming to rebuke him. In other words, what's the sign of the sheep? What's the sound of the sheep? You should have wiped them out. So he's saying the truth is the people did, and they had good intentions, and we wiped out Amalek. David, we'll see later on, was always quick to take the blame. When there was something that was done wrong, he immediately said it was him. Like even at the very end of Shmuel, when David HaMelech counted the people, he had a census, and therefore there was a plague, Magepha. In Shmuel Bey's Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, David HaMelech said, Hinei anochi chatosi, I sinned, v'anochi hevesi, and I acted in a crooked manner. Ve'ilatzon me'asu. What did these sheep, meaning the innocent Yidden, the Tzayin Kadashim, the holy Yidden, they're like little Shepzalach. Ve'ilatzon me'asu. What did the sheep do? Tehino yorcha bi uveves ovi. Your punishment should be against me and against my father's house. Meaning David HaMelech took the blame. When something went wrong, he took the blame. Here Shaul, you seem to see, placed the blame on others and shared the credit. Again, the truth is that's what happened. In other words, the people, Vayachmol Ha'om, it was the people's idea, and Shaul didn't feel that he should go against Doeg. We learned before it was one of the greatest Chachamim. He didn't feel comfortable going against the people who felt that the proper thing to do would be to take these Karbanos and bring Karbanos. So Shaul didn't go against their desire, but it really was their desire, and Shaul wiped out Amalek. But even so, the king should take the blame, even if it's really, bottom line, the buck stops here. The king is responsible. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, Shmuel said to Shaul, Heref, desist, let up. Vagida lechon, I'll tell you, Esa Sher Dibur Hashem Eli Haloila, what Hashem spoke to me at night. Vayomer lo daber, and he said to him, speak. Shmuel told Shaul, you have to let go. Every word that you're saying is held against you. You want to plead the fifth and keep quiet. Sometimes, not that you can plead the fifth to Hashem, but at least sometimes if you keep quiet, vayidomaro, and sometimes the greatest thing is just to be quiet. Of course, here he should have said that chatosi, should have acknowledged his avera. That's what he should have done. But if not, he could be quiet. But to continue explaining why he's correct, Hakimosius Devar Hashem, and to explain why he did the Devar Hashem, every word is an Aveira, because it's an Aveira, and Hinani Nishbar Osach al Omrech Lo Chatosi. There's a pasuk that says in Yirmiyah that people will be judged, Hashem judges them for saying Lo Chatosi, I didn't sin. As if a person is guilty, he has to He has to acknowledge it. He has to admit. And over here, to keep on stressing that he's right. Heref, stop. I think it could also be, in general, another shade of meaning. But very often, when you feel a certain way, and there's an argument or a dispute, it's very hard to see it from the other person's side. And sometimes you just have to stop and take a different perspective. Here, Shaul was obviously convinced that he was right. But he has to stop and think and listen to exactly what Shmuel is saying. And instead of jumping to say, oh, the sign of the sheep is exactly whatever, and it was taken for a korban, and we destroyed Amalek, stop and realize there's something wrong. But if you're not going to be heref, if you're not going to let go of your train of thought and your line of reasoning, you won't be able to see the other side. You won't be able to see what's being done wrong. Vayomer lo daber, and Shaul said to speak. The ksiv is vayomru. Again, it seems like Shaul was... the animals were saved with the... that was what the people wanted. And here... and obviously they felt that it was not wrong what they had done. So they all wanted to hear what Shmuel is going to tell them. In other words, what was wrong? To us, it seems obvious that they didn't do what they were supposed to. But to them, they felt they were doing the right thing. It's Vayomru, they all said to Shmuel, Daber, speak. Of course, they all felt that way and they all said it, but bottom line, it's Vayomer. The king spoke and everyone else went along and he was like speaking on the behalf of everyone. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, Haloim kotona tabeinecha. If you're small in your own eyes, meaning you shouldn't think that Shaul, because of his gaiva, felt that he can do his own thing and he doesn't have to listen to the Navi and he has his own independent reasoning. It stemmed to a large part from Anivus. Haloim katona tobeinecha. You're small in your eyes and you didn't want to go and impose your will on everyone else. But Rosh Shivta Yisrael Ata. But that's what you have to do. You're the leader of all of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. And as a leader, you are obligated to take charge and to impose on the people to do what's right. Now that would be even if Klal Yisrael chose on their own a ruler. If they willingly accepted somebody, once you're the leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to see to it that everything is being done correctly. But here, besides your personal greatness, that you're the leader, and therefore you're expected to have certain responsibilities, but v'im shochacha Hashem l'melech al Yisrael. But here, it wasn't just Klal Yisrael chose you as the leader. Hashem anointed you king over Klal Yisrael. Look at the one who made you the king. So that gives an extra measure of responsibility. V'yishlochacha Hashem b'dorech, and Hashem sent you on the road, on a special mission. Vayomer, and he said, Leich v'hacharam toes hachatoim es Amalek. Go and make a cherem from the sinners from Amalek. A cherem is something that no benefit, no hano will be had from that item. You take something and you make it cherem, you can have no use from it. And we mentioned, cherem sometimes means you give it over to Hashem. Kol cherem kodesh kodoshim hu l'Hashem. Sometimes a cherem can go to the Kohanim. Or be lakoyin ki stay ha cherem. This is a psukim at the end of Parshas Bechukosai. Cherem can also mean to destroy the cities. Ba'acharam to asachatoim as Amalek. Here he was told to destroy the sinners, Amalek. V'nilchamto bo'ad kalosom osom. And battle against Amalek until you totally wipe them out. So here Hashem sent you on the mission and he told you wipe out the sinners Amalek. Meaning this is a special... in other words, if Hashem tells you to stand on your head, even if there'd be no significance at all, but the very fact that Hashem told you to stand on your head, that becomes the most important thing that you could do. Yeah, must stand on your head. That's what Hashem said. The truth is, though, the mitzvahs have a purpose and have a reason behind them, which we don't know. But the truth is, it's Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakus Es Yisrael. It gives a certain, it purifies the person, it perfects the person. The mitzvahs, even in our, the mitzvahs have a chashivus by themselves, besides the fact that Hashem told you to do it. Hashem told you to do things that are for the benefit of your neshama. Over here, this mission, besides the fact that Hashem sent you to do it, but it's to wipe out the sinners, to wipe out Amalek, you're destroying evil. The mission itself is a very critical and important job. So there's like three facets here. Look at who you are. You're the king, you're the leader of Klal Yisrael. Number two, the one who sent you, the Malba mentions this, the one who sent you is Hashem. And He sent you on this mission and He made you the king. And thirdly, the job that you were supposed to do is of utmost importance. By the way, I don't want to let this opportunity to go by. And the Gemara says on Brachas Daf Yud, there's a famous Gemara that there were some wild people in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir was davening that they should die. So Bruria heard him and said, Bruria his wife, and said, why are you davening that they should die? It says, Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz, Rishayim ureinam. It doesn't say chotim. It doesn't say the sinners should be removed from the world. It doesn't say the sinners. It doesn't say chotim. It says chatoim, the sins. If you daven that they should do tshuva, there won't be any more sins, and then Rishayim ureinam, there won't be any more Rishayim. It seems a very simplistic statement, like it's surprising that Rabbi Meir didn't realize that on his own. In other words, Bruria was right. It's clearly, it says, Es HaChatoim, it says, sins. There's a Rashi over there, which is a dictic Rashi. But Rashi points out, the word Chatoim definitely means sinners. Rabbi Meir wasn't making a foolish mistake, Chas V'Shalom, and had a Taicha Posek. Wasn't like Chatoim means sins, and oh, Rabbi Meir thought, and Bruria pointed out, it doesn't say Chotim, it says Chatoim, it means sins. Rabbi Meir knew the Pasuk. It's not the Pshat is, Chatoim means sinners. When it's spelled with a Dogesh in the Tes, and the Ches has a Pasach, there it means sinners. Like in our Pasuk, which is why I mention it here. Go and wipe out V'acharamtos HaChatoim, wipe out the sinners, Es Amalek. Yitamu Chatoim means the sinners. Just Bruria made a drosha that if the Torah meant sinners and sinners, it could have said Chotim. Since it says Chatoim, we can say it means the sinners because they have the sins, and the main thing is because of the sins. If they do tshuva, there won't be sins and they won't be sinners. Or there's room for a drosha because it didn't say Chotim, it said Chatoim. But the simple meaning is like Rabbi Meir says, Chatoim is sinners. But Shmuel continues in Pasuk Yutes, V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem? Why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? In other words, you didn't listen to the one who sent you. Hashem sent you, and you didn't listen. V'atat el hasholo. And in terms of you yourself, you're the leader of Klal Yisrael. And you went after getting sholol. You want to make a few bucks. You want to get a little bit of spoils. Or a lot of spoils. Why are you running to the spoils? The booty. Vataz hara b'eini Hashem. And you did what's evil in the eyes of Hashem. If somebody does only part of the mitzvah, there are times when it's no mitzvah at all. If you have a four-cornered garment, and on one corner there's no tzitzis, so you can't wear that. You can't wear it with only tzitzis on three corners. To do that is not a mitzvah. If a guy is able to put on tzitzis and he doesn't, that's an aveira. If a guy has tefillin, and there's only three parshios in the tefillin, so it's an aveira. You can't go ahead and wear that. It's baltigra. Here, the very fact that you were supposed to wipe out the whole Amalek, and you didn't, it comes out the little that you did was no good. Vataz hara b'eini Hashem. Just going ahead and killing the people, what you did was evil because you didn't do the job. The job was to wipe out the whole Amalek. By the way, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchas Melochim Perek Hei, that the mitzvah of wiping out a Molech is only when they didn't make shalom, they didn't make peace with Klal Yisrael, and they weren't makabel zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. But if they do tshuva, if they decide to behave properly, the Rambam says they don't have to be wiped out. And some say, the Me'am Lois brings down, it could be it's meduyik in this, the pasuk we just had, wipe out the chatoim, the sinners, amalek. Meaning the mitzvah to wipe them out is when they are chatoim. If they taka give up their path in life, and they stop being the Rishoyim that they are, who are against Hashem and against Klal Yisrael, there wouldn't be a mitzvah to wipe them out. But other Mephoshim mentioned that's only if they all, there's a question whether that's, in other words, perhaps only if all of Amalek does tshuva, because as long as some Amalek remain, so and then some of them are kept alive, you're left with a remnant, a zecher of Amalek. Or if all of Amalek does tshuva, so then you no longer have the sinners of Amalek, they did tshuva. But if you're only going to have, if you kill some, or some of them do tshuva, and others are left, so then whatever remains, you're left with the zecher of Amalek. So here he was told to wipe them out, and if he didn't wipe them all out, vataz hara be'enei Hashem, you did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. Shaul said to Shmuel, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem. I listened to the voice of Hashem. Vo'eilech baderech asher shlochani Hashem. And I went on the road that Hashem sent me. As I'm aware of who this mission is coming from, it's b'kol Hashem. I listened to the voice of Hashem. And as far as doing the job, I went... Shaul said, I listened to the voice of Hashem, and I went on the path that Hashem sent me. And I brought Agog Melech Amalek Ves Amalek Hecharamti. I brought the king and I wiped out Amalek. I did exactly, I know that Hashem sent me and I fulfilled the mission. Vayikacha Ome HaSholol. The people took from the spoils, Tsoinu Vokor, the sheep and the cattle. Reishis HaCherem, the choice, the best of the Cherem. Lizboech Hashem Elokecha BaGilgol, to bring as a carbon to Hashem in Gilgal. Everything was done properly. In other words, there's no taina, no complaint of atad del ashol. I went running to the spoils. The people took the spoils, and they did it in order to bring a korban. We're going to get to the explanation. It's... At this point, it seems really difficult to understand exactly what's happening. He had such a clear job to do, and it Shaul keeps on insisting that he's right, and nothing's wrong. Vayomer Shmuel said, "Hachefetz Lashem ba'olosu zvachim." Do you think Hashem has a desire in a korban oila that's burned completely on the mizbeach, and in zvachim, which is shlomim? Kishmoa b'kol Hashem, like Hashem wants you to listen to the voice of Hashem. Chavetz is something that a person has an innate desire for. You want that specific item. Hashem has no particular pleasure in a korban. Hashem doesn't need, it's not like he's eating the meat on the mizbeach. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants as a korban is, it's a reach nichoach, that the nachas ruach, Hashem has an enjoyment, a pleasure, that He gave us a mitzvah and we did it. I asked for a korban on the Mizbeach and Klal Yisrael did it. But it's not that Hashem personally cares for the meat. Hashem doesn't have a chefetz, a desire for an oil and a zvachim. What Hashem wants is kishmoya b'kol Hashem. What counts is listening to the voice of Hashem. Hinei shmoa mizevach tov. Listening is better than bringing a good korban. Lahakshiv, hearkening, listening into Hashem, even if it's not on the level of Shmoa, like Shema Yisrael means to listen, to understand. Even if it's lahakshiv, just to hear, without a level of Shmoa. But lahakshiv is better mechelav elim, from the fats of the elim, the sheep that are brought on the mizbeach, the rams. In other words, what counts is to listen to Hashem. You're telling me you saved the animals to bring a carbon. Hashem doesn't need the carbon. Hashem wants you to listen. Ki chatas kesem meri. Like the sin of kesem is sorcery. A person who gets involved in sorcery and all these types of things, which it's hard for us to know exactly what they are, things that foresee the future and influence the future, and their alternative black magic and other ways of controlling and foreseeing, that's a lack of bitachon. In other words, instead of relying on Hashem, you're doing these unnatural ways of achieving your desires. But kichatas kesem, like a sin of sorcery, is merry rebelling. In other words, you didn't listen to Hashem. That's as bad as doing kesem, as doing sorcery. Because it's all the same idea that you are not relying on Hashem. And this is a personal, you'd say in Yiddish, a shtach. But this is a personal blow to Shaul. Because we're going to see later on, Shaul put a lot of effort into removing the Balei Ov and the Yidoni, all the people who were involved in these other practices. That even though the psukim here only highlight Shaul's faults, that's because he's so great, he didn't need a pat on the back and to be told what he's doing right. We learn from the mistakes, not to make the mistakes. But Shaul had certain great accomplishments during his short reign. And one of them was he removed a lot of the people who did Ksumim and did Avodah Zarah or did Balei Ov and Yidoni. So that's what he put his focus on. So the Navi turned to him and said, Kichatas Kesem, you're worried about the sin of sorcery, but Mary, rebelling against Hashem is just as bad. You are no better than the people that you wiped out. V'oven usrofin. And like the oven can mean something that has absolutely no substance to it. It's nothing. It's sheker. It's false. Or the oven can mean the avera, like the avera of trofin, meaning avodah zara. Also a form of avodah zara. Like the averus of somebody going for avodah zara is haftzar. Now haftzar could mean increasing to the words of the Navi. The same way somebody does avodah zara is not serving Hashem, so haftzar, the Targum mentions that. Diftzar u'moysif al-milei neviyah. If you add to the words of the Navi, that's like an avera of trufim, like avodah zara. Or is you not serving Hashem? To a certain extent, I say there are different ways of looking at averus. The chaymer, I mean, the truth. We say this in the al chayt. I was when on Yom Kippur when we say vidui al chayt shechatanu lefanecha. We say the avera. In those few words, we're stressing a lot of points. Al chayt. First of all, you do an Aveira. The Aveira itself is terrible. Shechatanu. And not only is the Aveira so terrible, but Shechatanu, we're the ones who did it. Meaning, how could a person who's getting so much Shechatanu lefanecha, we sin before you, Hashem. In other words, we're the ones doing the Aveira, and we're doing it against your will. We who are so much you can't compare a person with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can a person go ahead and do an Avera when Hashem said not that way? A person gets so much chesed from Hashem. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you such a everything you have is from Hashem, and you're so insignificant, Keneged Hashem. So there's like the chayt, the fact that the Aveir itself is terrible, and the fact Shechatanu, look at who's doing it. We're doing it. And it's Lefanecha. It's against you. So there's a few different points. Here also, Avodah Zarah, you're right, Avodah Zarah is one of the worst Aveiras. But in the end, besides the actual Aveir of Avodah Zarah, it's the lesson behind it, that a person is not serving Hashem, he's doing his own way of making a profit, of his own way of finding success. So haftzar, adding on to the words of the Navi, because you want to do it a different way, is just as bad. In that sense, you know, is he not listening to Hashem? Haftzar also means to talk a lot. Or it's the fact that you're talking and talking and talking. If you're saying the wrong things, talk is nothing. It's still meaningless. In other words, like the oven who srafim, like oven can mean sheker, something that has no substance, like avodah zara that has no substance to it, it's not real, so haftzar. So too, your continuous talk, justifying yourself, is meaningless. Whether you're going to say it in one word, or you're going to say it in a paragraph, or you're going to go on and on, it's wrong. It's wrong, and and talking is not going to make it correct. Yan mo'astu es davar Hashem, you despise the words of Hashem, v'yimoschem imelch, and Hashem despises you from being king. V'yomer shol el Shmuel chatosi, shol said to Shmuel chatosi, I sinned. Ki ovarti es pi Hashem v'es davarecha, because I went against the word of Hashem, and I went against your word, your words. But even in there, he didn't say, I went against... No, you just say, Chotasi, I sinned because I went against Hashem. What do you mean, Vestavarechan, against your words? Here is the point where we'll, I guess, let in the secret of what Shaul's mistake might have been. When Shmuel gave him the original Nevuah, and he told him what Hashem commanded, he said, go and strike Amalek, back in Pasuk Gimel, v'acharamtem es kol ha'shelo, and make everything that Amalek has as a cheirem. And we mentioned cheirem can have different meanings. Does it mean to destroy? Does it mean to consecrate? Give it over to Hashem? Don't have compassion. V'losach malolov. And everyone should be killed. And all the animals. The Pasuk in the Torah, when it talks about Zochra Isa Shirosel Cha Amalek, to remember about Amalek, it says, Timche Zecher Amalek, or Zecher Amalek. Remember, wipe out the Zecher of Amalek. It doesn't say about killing the animals. The simple meaning, wiping out the memory of Amalek, and it's the way the Chinuch brings it down, the mitzvah. The mitzvah is pasha to wipe out all the people of Amalek. It doesn't say anything about the animals. Rashi mentions in Chumash that it means the animals also, because the Amalek, Rashi mentions it, the Amalek, Rashi mentions it here in Pasuk Gimel, that they did kishuf and they would change themselves to appear like an animal, so it could be the people really are animals. I assume it could be Rashi got it from the very fact that if Shmuel said to wipe out the animals, and you look in the Torah, and you don't see any mitzvah to wipe out the animals, logic tells you that the mitzvah of wiping out the Zecher HaMolek must be, and includes the animals. As you see over here, here it's spelled out clearly. Mishor Vatzeh Migomol Vat Chamor. So, based on this pasuk, could be, is the way you know, the mitzvah of the Torah is wiping out the animals. However, the way Doeg Ho'adoyimi, the way the people, and Shaul bought into their line of reasoning, they thought, perhaps, the mitzvah of the Torah, Timcha Zecher Amalek, means to wipe out the memory of Amalek, means all the people. And when Hashem said clearly, Koy Omar Hashem Tzvokos, go and strike Amalek, v'acharamtem es kol ha'shelo, and make everything a cheirem, and don't have any compassion, they thought that was the end of the command of Hashem. Shmuel was adding his explanation and his understanding. V'heimata me'ish v'ad isha, you should kill from men to women, from oilo to yoinig, all the animals. Shmuel added to wipe out the animals, because that's the way Shmuel understood the mitzvah of v'acharamta meskol asher loy. Make everything a cheirem. However, they said, we looked in the Pasuk in the Torah, we don't think Zecher HaMolek includes the animals. Zecher HaMolek means the people. And when Hashem said, V'hacharam, to make everything a cheirem, it means everything a cheirem, meaning the people are killed. That's the type of cheirem that's appropriate for the people. The animals that can be brought as a korban, as a sacrifice, The cherem for the animals means to bring them as a carbon. In other words, you make them a cherem, you consecrate it for Hashem. You make it a carbon. That's the cherem for an animal. And in fact, Agog, who is the leader, the proper cherem for him would be to put him aside, that people should take note that this is the king, this is the Hitler Yamach Shemoy, this is the arch enemy of all good in the world. And then he'll be killed. But not just to be killed as a commoner. In other words, they heard the words. It could be they didn't even all hear the words of Shmuel. It could be it was just Shaul. But Shaul conveyed the message, and he said, I heard from Shmuel, make everything a cheirim, and kill all the everything. And they assumed the explanation of killing even the animals was Shmuel's understanding of the mitzvah. So that's what Shmuel said over here. Ki avarti es pi Hashem v'estvarecha. I went against the words of Hashem and against your words, meaning your understanding of it. Ki oreisi es am, I was afraid of the people, for eshma b'kolom, and I listened to their voice. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a drasha, and he explains the aveira of Shaul, why Shaul lost the malchus. He connects it with the Gemara in Baruchas on Daf Yud. The Gemara discusses how Yeshayo Hanovi was sent to the king Chizkiyo, who is a tremendous tzaddik. The Gemara says in Sancheiriv, if Klal Yisrael would have been Zoyche, he could have been Mashiach. Chizkiyo was one of the greatest. And he came with a message, Meis Atov Lo Sichya. You, Chizkiyo, will die and you will not live. Meaning you'll die in this world and you will not have an Olam Haba. Why not? Because you're not Oisik and Pru Ravu. He didn't have children. So, Chizkiyo said to him, there's a reason why. I know that my son who's born will be a Rasha. And that's why I don't want to have a son. So Yeshaya answered him, Bahari Kavshi Rachman Allah Malach, what are you getting involved with the secrets of Hashem? You have a mitzvah of having children. And if the child, how the child turns out, that's Hashem's cheshbon. You have to do my demifkedis. What are you commanded? You have to do. So Chizkiyo said, oh, if that's the case, let me marry your daughter. And perhaps the zechus that the child born will be a grandson of Yeshaya Hanavi. And the zechus that he comes from Yeshaya. And he's coming from, and he'll be my child, Chizkiyo. The zechus of both of us perhaps will turn out okay. Sure enough, he married her. He married Yeshaya's daughter. And he had a son who was one of the worst Rishoyim. Who was Menashe, who was terrible. He was right. He knew with Ruach HaKadosh he was right. And that's the Gemara. The question is, initially, when he wasn't Mekayim Pru Ravu, why was he told he was going to die as an Aveira for that? It's not Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. He should die. He should be cut off that there's no Olam Haba. How do you understand that? And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that the Aveira is, when he wasn't Mekayim Pru Ravu, the reason was because he had a cheshbon, that the child born would be a Rasha. And that's why it got a terrible punishment. Because if somebody has a mitzvah, and he gives into a Yetzirah, that's one thing. If he has a mitzvah and his attitude is, I don't think the mitzvah makes sense. In this situation, it's not kedai to do the mitzvah. It shows that when he does a mitzvah, he does a mitzvah because that sits well with him. He understands this mitzvah is a mitzvah to give tzedakah. He'll give tzedakah. Why? Because that makes sense to him. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. He learns Torah because it makes sense to him. And there's a mitzvah to have a child and the child will be a Rasha. That doesn't make sense to him and therefore he doesn't do it. That attitude means that he's not an Eved Hashem. He's not serving Hashem. He's doing whatever he wants to do. So if somebody to be the king of Klal Yisrael, and not to be serving Hashem, but doing what mitzvahs he likes to do, and the mitzvahs, the other mitzvahs he thinks is not worthwhile, he doesn't do, that's such a fundamental flaw. That's the way Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains this also. Shmuel gave him a message. Go wipe out Amalek, make everything a cherem. on that Shoal and the people, or the people said it, and Shoal went along, the Chayrim could mean, you know, it makes more sense, let's use the animal as a carbon, and Chayrim does have the usage of being a carbon. But over here, Shmuel told him clearly, Vehemata, you should kill all of the men and women and animals. Now, you might think it's Shmuel's own decision, but he started out as a nevuah from Hashem, and you got to assume the whole thing is a nevuah unless you clarify it with Shmuel. But Shmuel tells you, he's telling you a nevuah, and he gives you one or two psukim, you have to assume it's all a nevuah, and you can't decide on your own that probably it's Shmuel's understanding, and we could learn up differently. It's a flaw in the whole following the Devar Hashem. And that was the same flaw. It's considered perhaps that it's one fault of Shaul, why he didn't wait with the battle of the Plishtim. Shmuel said to wait 7 days, wait till he comes. Shmuel brought the carbon before Shmuel came. Not waiting for Shmuel, I mean, he was afraid, what happens if the Plishtim attack and I didn't bring a carbon? But that's not frumkeit to say, what happens if they attack and I didn't daven, I didn't bring a carbon? If the mitzvah from Hashem is to wait, you have to wait. You can't make your own cheshbonos. It's a tremendous musr. But here Shaul says, Ki oreisi asam, I was afraid of the people, v'ashma b'kolim, and I listened to their voice, and therefore, under pressure, he made these calculations that he should keep the animals alive. But he finally realizes, okay, I've done not as you said. Va'ata now sono es chatosi, I want you to bear my aveira. V'shuvi mi, return with me, v'eshtachavel Hashem, and I'll bow down to Hashem. In those Meforshim, again, they point out a lack in Shaul, that when David HaMelech did an aveira, he said, chatosi, I sinned, and he expected to get the full punishment, and he humbled himself. Here, you could look at it as if Shaul is still worried about his honor. We'll see later on, he says clearly, kabdeni no, to honor me. In other words, the truth is, you know, it's all kafi der madrega. I mean, you see the greatness in Shaul also. He's just told he's vayimoscha, Hashem despised him from being king. Or he's just heard such a terrible chastisement. And his reaction is, come with me and I'd like to bow down to Hashem. Whether it meant that he was davening and hopefully maybe there could be a change, maybe he will remain king, or whether what his kavanas were in v'eshtachavel Hashem is, but he didn't allow his personal loss to stop him from serving Hashem. But he wanted Shmuel to come with him. Is that a chasaran or is that a maila? It's hard to know. On one hand, you can look at it as, again, that he wanted Shaul, he was still worried about his covet. But he did. He wanted to bow down to Hashem. But Yomer Shmuel Shaul, Shmuel said to Shaul, Lo Oshuvimoch, I'm not coming back with you. Ki Mo'astas Devar Hashem, you despise the word of Hashem. Vayim Oscha Hashem. Hashem despised you, Mi Yos Melech Yisrael, from being a king over Klal Yisrael. I'm not going back with you. By Yisuv Shmuel Oleches, Shmuel turned to go on his way. Vayachazek b'chaf mi'ilo vayikora. He grabbed the corner of his garment and it tore. It could be Shaul grabbed Shmuel because he wanted Shmuel to stay. Come with me. And Shaul grabbed Shmuel's garment and it ripped. That Rashi brings down his pashup shot. It could be Shmuel turned to go. And Rashi brings us also the Medrash Haggadah. This is the different opinions. Shmuel turned to go, and when he turned, he grabbed Shaul's garment. And Shaul's garment ripped. Now, the king, the Novi, whichever garment ripped, the clothing wasn't shmatas. If I grab your shirt, it doesn't rip, normally. The fact that it ripped was a sign, min hashamayim, that there's a message here. Vayomer elov Shmuel, Korah Hashem es Mamlechus Yisrael me'alecho hayom. Hashem ripped away the Malchus of Klal Yisrael from you today. Unesanoh, and Hashem gave it l'reyacho, to your friend. Meaning like, reyacho is a fellow yid, somebody who's also an oyved Hashem, somebody who's on the level of Shaul. He gave it l'reyacho, to your friend. We'll see, it was somebody who ended up in his family, marrying his daughter. He gave it to your friend, Hatov Mimeko, that's better than you. Shaul started out, there was nobody like him. Now already, there is. There's a Reach Hatov Mimeko, somebody who's better than you. When a Novi gives a Nevuah about something, a punishment, it doesn't necessarily happen. The people can do tshuva, and if you change your way, the decree is changed. But there's two things that make the decree final. One way is if the Navi does a physical action to concretize the Nevuah. Sometimes you have the Navi, he'll write down a scroll and he'll throw it into the river, or he'll lie on this side, or he'll do certain things to show, do a physical, he'll shoot an arrow, and that represents something. If you do an action with a Nevuah, it becomes permanent. Here, the garment was ripped, and that showed that the Malchus was ripped. It's like it's already a fact accompli. It's finished. It's done. The garment's ripped, the Malchus is ripped. A second way that this became final is a bad thing can be revoked and can be changed. You change your behavior, the punishment is removed. But if something good is promised by the Navi, it happens. Here, Shaul is given a bad piece of news. He loses the Malchus. But it's also a good piece of news for David. So if it's a good thing for David, that becomes permanent. David's not going to lose what he was promised. When the son of it's already been given to David, and the good for David will not be revoked. V'gam Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Klal Yisrael. Lo Yishaker won't lie, v'lo Yinochim, and won't have a change of mind. A sheker is when you say something that's not true. Yinochim means you say something that's true, and later on you change your mind. You say you're going to do something, and then you decide later on not to do it. That's Yinochim. Kilo Odom Hu Lehinochim. Hashem is not a person who changes his mind. Which is interesting, because we just learned the expression in this perek, Nichamti Kim Lachti Yeshoa L'melech. But the point again is, in other words, Hashem doesn't change. But the Malchus was given to show that if he keeps the mitzvahs of Hashem, and he does what he's supposed to do as king, he will be king forever. Or ad oilam, he'll be for a long time, whatever that means. We've discussed in previous prokin, you know, how could he have remained as king if Malchus is supposed to be by Yehuda, lo yosu shevet mi Yehuda. But he was promised that he would continue as king if he did the Ratzon Hashem. Since he didn't do the Ratzon Hashem, he won't continue as king. So it's not really a change in Shaul's, in the plans for Shaul. It was contingent on his behavior. But the Pasuk says, Nichamti, that it was such a severe Avera that he did, it's as if the whole Malchus was a mistake. But not that, in other words, the fact that he lost the Malchus afterwards, he would. In other words, that was the deal. In other words, if he would have kept the mitzvah Hashem, he would have had the Malchus, and he didn't, he lost the Malchus. Nichamti is just like it was such a severe sin, it's as if I would have never wanted that Malchus. But a decision of Hashem is not changed. Kilo Odom Hu Lehinochem. Once Hashem gives a promise, that promise is not removed. Hashem doesn't change his mind. And we'll see by David, the Malchus is promised to him forever, and therefore there might be certain periods in history where we don't have an actual king. There were periods in history where there's a competitive king over Malchus Yisrael, but the king over Klal Yisrael remains, Malchus based David remains forever. It might be like the moon, it might not always be visible, it might be on the decline, but it's going to come back. It's something that's a Malchus that's promised to David forever. There's a philosophical point, which I'm not much of a philosopher, and I have a hard time fully comprehending the meaning behind it. But something that's altered and something that can be transformed won't last forever. The very fact that it's affected by other things shows that it's a transitory, it's in flux. It doesn't have a permanence. Something that doesn't change at all is an item that could remain forever. That's why the pasuk says, "Vagam Netzach Yisrael," the eternity of Klal Yisrael, meaning Hashem is forever. That's why this expression is used. It doesn't say "Vagam Hashem Lo Yishakir." We're using the word Netzach Yisrael because we're calling him the eternity of Klal Yisrael, because something that's eternal does not change. It remains exactly the way it is, because once it's changing, that's already the beginning of decomposing and the beginning of the road to oblivion. It's v'gam netzach Yisrael, and therefore there will be no change. Kilo odem hulihi nachem. Vayomer chatosi, now Shaul realizes and he says, chatosi, I sinned. Ata now kabdeni no neged zikneyami, honor me before the zakenim, v'neged Yisrael, and before Klal Yisrael. V'shuvi me, return with me, v'yishtachavesi l'Hashem elokecha, and I'll bow down to Hashem. It could be Shaul just felt he needed that chizik. You know, we mentioned before the way of looking at it in a negative light. But could be Shaul wasn't negative. In other words, Shaul realized after having such a blow and such a loss and such a public humiliation and embarrassment, it's going to be, even if this is between him and Shmuel, it's going to become public that the Malchus is going to be lost. Such a blow to be told Hashem despises you. You know, they always say don't label somebody, because if you give him a negative label, that he'll live up to it. Here he's told Hashem despises you. In order for Shaul to pick up his life and to move on, he needs kabdenino, give him a little bit of kavod, show him that I do have some significance, and I'll channel that to bow down to Hashem. And now the fact that he said chatosi, without saying I went against your words, but a simple chatosi, I've sinned, I realized. He's finally realized he's wrong. Vayoshev Shmuel achrei Shaul, Shmuel returned after Shaul, vayishtachu Shaul Hashem, and Shaul bowed down to Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hagishu elayis Agag melech Amalek, bring me the king of Amalek, Agog. And he went to him, Agog went to him, Ma'adanos, tied up. He went to him in chains. Vayomer Agog, and Agog says, Ochain, it's true indeed, Sor mar hamoves, the bitterness of death has turned toward me. That's it. Now, as everyone else was wiped out, all the other people, now death is coming to Agog. Others learn, Mar is like Temura. Mar and Temura, the alternative to death, is now sort moving away from me. Meaning the Gemara says for somebody to be a captive is worse than death. The torture, the pain, the humiliation, the degradation. A guy who is a shavui, chas v'shalom, is terrible. He's at the mercy of his captors. Living a life like that in fear, in captivity, is worse than death. Agog said, Ochein, indeed, Sor mar hamovis, the alternative to death, is leaving. He realized he was going to get death. Not the alternative, at least he'll be killed. And it could be he was happy he'd get killed, because he didn't want to remain as a captive.